Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. We would like to welcome everyone to Banco Bradesco's fourth quarter 2018 earnings results conference call. This call is being broadcasted simultaneously through the internet in the website banco.bradesco/ir-en. In that address, you can also find the presentation available for download. We inform that all participants will only be able to listen to the conference call during this company's presentation. After the presentation, there will be a question and answer session when further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Banco Bradesco's management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to the future events and therefore depends on circumstances that may or not may occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operation factors could also affect the future results of Banco Bradesco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I will turn the conference over to Mr. Carlos Firetti, Market Relations Department Director. Please, Mr. Carlos, you may proceed.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our conference call for discussion of our fourth quarter results. We have today with us participating in the call Otavio de Lazari, Bradesco's Chief Executive Officer, André Cano, Executive Vice President, Vinicius Albernaz, Chief Executive Officer of Grupo Bradesco Seguros, and Leandro Miranda, Executive Officer and Investor Relations Officer. To start the call, I turn the floor to Leandro.
Thank you very much, Firetti. Hello, everyone. Thank you all for joining our fourth quarter 2018 earnings conference call. 2018, as you know, was marked up by a deep volatility in global markets as well as the Brazilian markets. That was led by a set of political and economic disturbances that affected our economy. This combination prevented the economy as a whole from growing faster, repeating the lows 2017, 1% growth, and the unemployment rate above 11.5%. Despite of this challenging scenario, Bradesco remained flexible, focused, and fit to present a healthy and strong and solid operational and financial performance. The bank was well positioned and with the right strategy to grow. This allowed us to expand our loan portfolio, increase our services revenues, and decrease our risk costs, and keep the overall cost at very decent levels. We can say, generally speaking, that we work with costs below inflation. Operating costs remained under control, and we partially absorbed the impact from the collective labor agreement, resulting in costs growing below inflation, as I have mentioned before. On page 3 of our presentation, we can see that in 2018, we had a record net income of 21.6 billion reais, up 13.7% year-on-year. Besides that, we had a sound operational profit, up 24.9% year-on-year. It was an incredible year for us. Turning to page 4, we may see we had several important initiatives in the past month. Among them, we'd like to highlight the following. First of all, the renewal of our brand, which allow us to be more flexible in our visual communication and reflect our values, as well as our deep level of technology and modernity. We also have experienced the fast evolution of Beer, our unique artificial intelligence platform. And we were able to achieve the important milestone of 500,000 clients on X. Just to give you a flavor, last week we reached 575,000 clients. On page five, we can say that the very beginning of this year, our executive president, Mr. Otávio, announced the redesigning of our senior management structure. As you can see on page five, we reduced the number of executive vice presidents down to four from six. This movement aims at speeding up the decision process and boost the cooperation and synergies among our several areas of the organization. Furthermore, we improved our client segmentation, seeking to provide an even more customized, deeper, and comprehensive set of services to our customers. Client is key here in this organization, is the center of everything that we do. The bank is now with the following organizational structure. Wholesale bank that is comprised of large corporate one, prime brokerage, investment bank, global markets, securities, foreign exchange, and international private bank divisions. It is headed by Marcelo Noronha. High net worth clients and treasury, comprised of prime invest, top tier clients, dedicated divisions, Bradesco and Ágora, brokerage houses, wealth management treasury divisions, headed by Cassiano. Retail bank, comprised of branches, digital branch platform, Bradesco Express, digital channels and cards, led by Eurico. And finally, control and business support structure that is comprised of technology, human resources, finance and risk, and other operational areas, in this case here, led by André Cano. You can see on page six that we are improving our customer experience dramatically. It's a permanent goal of ours, and we had a number of important initiatives, as we have pointed out at this page. We seek to better understand our customer needs. We improve the speed and convenience of our services. The products and services portfolio became more and more tailor-made for customers' needs. As a result, our NPS index has improved around 20% in 2018 when compared to 2017. As we have just described on page seven, these among our largest efforts in technology and to the ideas to provide a better experience to our customers. We are in the vanguard and cutting edge position in the use of artificial intelligence in the financial markets. 80.3 million customers have already used BIA with around 73.2 million interactions. BIA is a multi-platform. It comprises Bradesco app, Next, WhatsApp, Google Assistant, among others. The evolution has been very, very fast. The accuracy of answers is around 90% today and intends to enhance even more and faster. BIA has a wide range of applications. We use it to assist our managers, clients, and even to execute transactions. Just as we did in the previous quarter, on page eight, we present some key figures from our digital channels. We highlight Next. We achieved 500,000 clients by the end of 2018, but I have to just mention we reached 575,000 last week, and we expect to reach 1.5 million clients by the end of 2019. 77% of our clients who joined Next were not Bradesco's clients, so we are enhancing our base of clients. So we are achieving our goals there. The number of BIA interactions made by our customers through WhatsApp keeps growing fast and fast. Only in the fourth quarter of 2018, there were 5.2 million interactions. The volume of loans released through mobiles and internet increases steadily. In 2018, the figure expanded 63% for individuals and 76% for companies. The number of digital clients, including mobile and internet banking, but especially more and more mobile, reached 15.3 million, which represents incredible 53% of our checking account clients. Turning to page nine, we point out that we maintain our focus on growth, customization, and efficiency of our business model. Searching continuously for more profitable business models that fulfill our clients' demands. In the past 2 years, the number of digital clients grew by 25%. We have already made important adjustments in our network, and we continue to adjust it. We will continue to close some branches or transform them to points of sale, as the case may be. We are just looking for profitable branches and points of sale, which allow us to reduce costs without losing transactions with our clients. The size of branches might be smaller. We expect to achieve 1.5 million clients in the digital platforms by the end of this year. Due to our increasing technology and embedded processes, managers assist three times more clients, increasing clients' profitability up to 40%. And as the economy recovers, we have the opportunity to improve the use of our network established throughout Brazil, as we are the only bank that is present in all municipalities of the country. On page 10, we can see that our insurance operation presented an important decrease in claims as a result of important measures we took in the previous years. We have redesigned several pricing models and focused on portfolios that have higher profitability. In the healthcare segment, for instance, we have ongoing initiatives for cost control, such as negotiations with hospitals, which make the business more sustainable in the long run. We highlight the investments in primary treatment. By the end of the year, we shall have 22 units of Meu Doutor Novamed. We have been treating the pension plan segment as part of our wealth management and investment strategy. Finally, I would like to highlight that we have several initiatives focused on the experience of our customers. For instance, the expansion in the offering through digital channels. Turning to page 11, we can see here that the brokerage house environment remains positive, and we are getting momentum there. We concluded the investments in the platforms of our brokerage houses, Agora and Bradesco Retores, in order to meet clients' utmost demands. We have just launched Agora's new platform, which has been completely redesigned to provide a friendly and comprehensive experience to our clients. Our brokerage houses have a potential market of 1.3 million clients from our prime and prime segments, besides the 300,000 clients that we already have. We remain evolving fast on our wealth management strategy and bringing further news throughout 2019. Finally, on page 12, we'd like to emphasize the great added value we bring to the Brazilian society. From the total added value of 61 billion reais generated in 2018, 34% were paid in tax and 30% in compensation to our employees. This year, Fundação Bradesco has invested 607 million in its own activities, benefiting 94,000 students, and we are committed to invest up to 650 million reais in 2019. Thank you very much. Now I'll turn the call over to Carlos Firetti, who will continue our presentation, especially on the financial data.
Okay. Thank you, Leandro. So now we start the analysis of our numbers. In slide 14, we have a summary of our numbers. Main highlight in this slide is the strong increase in our operating income in the fourth quarter compared to the same period last year, 33%, and for full year 18, an expansion of 25% of our operating income. Net income grew around 20% in the quarter, 13.4% for 18, and our return on equity reached 19.7% in the quarter, and return on assets 1.7, expanding from 1.6. In slide 15, we have the evolution of our net income since the first quarter 17. We moved to a new level in the last two quarters, closing the fourth quarter, as I said, at 19.7%. We will keep working for expanding our level of returns. On slide 16, we have our loan origination. We have been presenting this chart for more than a year, and basically we consistently show expansion of loan origination individuals and companies in the fourth quarter compared to the same period in 17. Origination for individuals grew 23%, while for companies it's growing at 37.5%. The quality of this origination has been very good given all the changes and improvements we had in our models and origination, and that's the basis for our positive view on credit quality going forward. In slide 17, we have our loan book. Basically, it grew 7.8% in 18. The individuals portfolio was the main highlight, growing at 11%, with the main lines at payroll loans, real estate financing, mortgage, car loans, and also a highlight for personal loans that accelerated throughout this year, reaching 18%, basically with improvement in our process for originating the product, and also changing some characteristics in this product. In the company segment, the growth was 6.1%, 10.1% for SMEs, 4.5% for large companies. The profile of growth is exactly what we have been saying, higher growth for retail operations, individuals, SMEs, and less growth for large corporates, where we continue focus to be the main bankers for our clients, serve them on their credit needs, but not necessarily doing only loans through our balance sheet. We can use capital markets, we can originate for sale, and that's the approach, focusing mostly on capital discipline and on the returns of our operation. In slide 18, we have our net interest income. We had a very good performance this quarter, with an increase in net interest income of 6.6%. The asset liability management line increased basically due to the normalization of markets in the fourth quarter, kind of compensating the same movement, but on the negative side we had in the second quarter. Insurance, we also had an improvement, more like normalizing the performance with the inflation index changing with IPCA, the retail inflation coming is higher than the wholesale inflation measured by IGPM. On credit, basically we keep benefiting from increasing origination, the increase in the portfolio. We had some compression in spreads. We think that's part of the environment, but we feel the changing mix and the strong growth in terms of volumes should allow us to keep growing our net interest income from credit throughout 19. In terms of credit quality, we continue on a good trend. The delinquents for individuals and SMEs keep going down for now almost seven consecutive quarters. The delinquents for corporates has been still flattish on a relatively high level. We believe we're going to see improvements in this line throughout 19, considering that we believe we are at the end of the cycle for corporates, and most of these delinquencies caused by few companies. On page 20, we had this quarter some increase in the NPL creation. This increase comes mostly from the SME operation that had an increase in the fourth quarter. We believe this is explained by a group of companies and also by some seasonal effect. If you analyze the SME delinquents NPL creation, actually, it had the same increase last year. And also, we can say the base for the third quarter was relatively low. So the size of the increase is also given by the fact that the third quarter was relatively low. In terms of cost of risk, we remain at a very good level. We believe we still have some room for reducing the cost of risk as a percentage of the portfolio going forward. In terms of the coverage ratio of 90 days delinquents, we increased a little bit more to 245%. We believe this large coverage will be used as we continue growing our loan book and also when the NPL ratio stabilizes and growth actually helps to consume more of this coverage. And also the excess provisions, we should consume these provisions or use these provisions in the transition for IFRS 9. This doesn't change the coverage ratio. It will remain high, but it is part of the transition for the new standard. Page 22, fees. Our fees grew 5.2% in 2018. The main highlights in fees come from checking accounts, asset management, the consortiums, and from brokerage service. In page 23, our operating expenses, we kept a strong level of discipline throughout 18, with total costs growing 1.7% in the year, inside the range of our guidance. Administrative fees increased 0.8%, and personnel 2.5%. Remembering that in personnel we had the increase of salaries for banking workers in September at a rate of 5%, and this is responsible for part of the impact we see, especially in the fourth quarter. We should keep discipline in costs, and we believe this will remain as a good highlight for the bank. We reduced in 18, 132 branches. If we consider the points of service we closed, that would make a reduction of 228 points of service plus branches. So we should continue adjusting our branch network in the coming years, always focusing on the profitability and returns of these branches. On page 24, our insurance operation that had a very good fourth quarter with earnings growing to 26.7% on a year-on-year basis, 22% in the quarter. The earnings for the insurance company expanded at 15.4% in 2018. The return of the insurance company was 22.3% in the fourth quarter and 20% for 18 as a whole. In the slide 25, you can see the operating numbers for the insurance company. The main driver for this good performance is the improvement in terms of claims. Total claims went down again. We have seen this reduction in consecutive quarters. We reached 7.4%, a reduction of 200 basis points comparing to the third quarter. And as a consequence, the combined ratio also improved in an important way in the fourth quarter. One of the main drivers in terms of segments, in terms of reduction in claims, come from the health insurance segment, where the measures we have been adopting in the company are producing effect, helping to keep claims under control, also benefiting from the improvement in the economic cycle. In page 26, we have our capital ratios. We increased our total Tier 1 to 13.7% in for the fourth quarter 2018. That's an increase of 150 basis points year comparing to the third quarter. We had an increase of 90 basis points in the Common Equity Tier 1. Also we issued AT1 in the fourth quarter. This issuance was in the Brazilian market through private placements. It amounted 4.2 billion reais, and this capital was already approved by the Central Bank to be included in our Tier 1. In page 27, we have a slide on the reclassifications of our income statement that are gonna be the base for our reporting starting the first Q 2019. Basically, the main changes are the transference of the margin from insurance from the margin line to the insurance line. What you're going to see from now on is the reporting of operating and financial income of insurance in the same line. What makes this line represent more the operations of the insurance company and should be less volatile. Also, we reduced the other operating income line, transferring part of its component to the margin that we believe is an appropriate classification, and also transference of the small amounts to provision expenses and also services. Basically, as I said, this is the new way of reporting. We produced a historic set of data where you're going to be able to use in your models. The important information here, our guidance applies to this new classification. It's especially for the insurance line and margins. In the slide 28, we have our guidance. First, the comparison between our revised guidance and the actual performance. Basically, considering the revised guidance, the only line we missed were insurance premiums, and meeting all the other lines. For 2019, the new guidance for loan growth is a growth of between 9%-13%. For the financial margin, for the total NII, from 4%-8%. For fee and commissions, 3%-7%. Operating expenses, 0%-4%. The income from insurance, that, as I said, includes the margin, the reclassification of the margin, 5%-9%. Finally, for provision expenses, a range going from 11.5%-14.5%. With this, I conclude the presentation of the results, and now I open for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now initiate the question and answer section. If you would like to ask a question, please dial star one. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove your question from the queue by pressing star two key. Our first question comes from Mr. Carlos Macedo from Goldman Sachs. Please, Mr. Carlos, you may proceed.
Thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking our questions. I have a couple of questions. First one, on your guidance for provisions. I'm just trying to understand. I know, Firetti, you said something. You said about the unwind that will come with loan growth. I mean, the coverage that you have on your NPLs now at 245% is very high. Even this quarter, I mean, your required provisions went down, but your generic provisions, which are more at the discretion of the bank, they went up. Just trying to understand how that unwind will happen. If it's just going to be fueled by the growth of the portfolio and things like that, and how IFRS 9 will affect it. Second question on margins. From your guidance, it appears that you expect margins to decline sequentially in 2019. Could you talk a little about that? I know that the change in the mix is pretty powerful, but you do forecast or do have a tightening of the margins. Is it going to be just the spreads passing through to your back book from your front book? How is that going to take place? Thanks.
Okay, Carlos. First question on provisions versus expenses. Basically, the trends for provisions remain positive. We believe we had some one-offs in terms of provisions during 2018 that, in our view, in terms of the ticket from this one-off, they shouldn't repeat in the same levels. We continue to have the impairments. They amounted almost R$1 billion. We believe there's room for seeing reductions there. But I think what gives more confidence for us is that looking to the originations, we see the performance of the vintage doing very well. We believe considering this performance, we are not normalized in terms of the level of provisions our portfolio should require. The growth will demand at some point more provisions, but we believe that this process of normalization and the absence of one-offs and also the lower impairments should compensate for it. In terms of margins, we believe in 2018 we will continue to see some compression in spreads. I think that's the trend. That's a consequence of passing through the improvement in terms of cost of risk in an environment where we believe all competitors will be willing to grow. We don't think the final reduction in the credit NII will be very big. We believe the mix during the year can help us to offset part of that movement. But when you look to the total margins, it also should be affected by the reduction in the margins or in the NII from the asset liability management or in the new classification, the margin from the market, considering that in our view, the as of today, the amount of results to be appropriated in 19 should be smaller than we have appropriated in 18. So the mix is the margin from credit reduces, probably not as much, and we have as of today a perception that there's also some reduction in the margin from the asset liability management.
Okay, thank you. And just a follow-up then, if you can, talk a little bit about the IFRS 9 implementation. How do you expect that to take place and timing and the impact for Bradesco?
Can you repeat the beginning of your question? I lost it.
The IFRS 9 implementation and
okay.
Sorry, and how you expect that to take place and the impact for Bradesco.
Okay, as of today, the expectation, this is not totally defined, is the expectation act, the full implementation should be for 2021, 2020, but basically there's kind of a gradual implementation of some aspect. In our view, the implementation will not require more provisions. Basically, we have enough considering the overall provisions. The implementation doesn't change the coverage. Basically, the only thing is how especially the additional provision is classified. So we believe we are in a very good position. There's no major impact coming from, or there's no impact coming from the provisioning side.
Okay, but could it increase, you know, starting in 2020 when you implemented, could it increase the provisions given that it's expected loss and moving more into consumer, which has, you know, longer duration? Could you increase the amount of provisions they have to make on a recurring basis, or should we expect more of the same relative to what, you know, for instance, 2019?
We don't basically, in terms of the balance, as I said, we just reclassify. In terms of the flow, I think we already do the provisions on a appropriate level for the flow of new provisions.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for that.
Our next question is coming from Mr. Mario Pierri of Bank of America. Please, Mr. Mario, you may proceed.
Good morning, everybody. Congratulations on the results. A couple of questions as well. First, on your loan growth guidance of 9 to 13%, can you give us a little bit more color on the breakdown of this growth? Which products are you most excited about? Also, if you can share with us, how does this compare for your expectations for industry growth, given that public sector banks in Brazil seem to be reducing the size of the balance sheets? So I was wondering if you're embedding any market share gains here on loan growth. The second question is related to fees. Basically, the midpoint of your guidance, we're seeing fees growing roughly in line with inflation, even though you do have some room here to change your fees for the old HSBC Brazil clients. So I was wondering also if you can give us a little bit more color on this guidance and why it's only growing in line with inflation. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, this is Leandro speaking. Basically, we do not provide any specific guidance for every line of our corporate credit portfolio. But overall, what I can tell you is that regarding to our feelings is that we shall see a very strong growth from individuals as well as SMEs. Regarding to corporate side, we are about to see a more competitive environment. We expect the local debt capital markets to provide most of the funding, especially for the high graded companies. And we shall be able to be fast to provide solutions, and then to rewrite our portfolio and sell it to the markets. That's how we plan to be competitive in this scenario. Regarding to market share, we share your vision. Regarding to state-owned banks, so we guess we shall have room to get more market share here.
Also, one thing that is very important in all guidelines, in internal guidelines, is basically we should keep a very high level of capital discipline. Our view in terms of credit is really have returns in the operations. For that, as Leandro said, we can originate it and sell, basically looking for maximization of return, even considering that as a banker of companies in Brazil, it's always important to serve our clients.
Okay, and that's clear. And then the question on fees.
Oh, sorry. In terms of fees, the main pressure we see comes from the payment side. You guys follow what's going on in terms of the competitive environment on the acquiring business, and that is impacting our credit card fees. It represents roughly 8.5% of total fees. The main impact. Also, as you guys know, there's the cap in the interchange for debt that was established last year and started to be valid in October 18. That's gonna have a full year impact. The impact is not huge, but it contributes to eroding a little bit the overall growth for this line. We have opportunities. We believe the volume of business, considering the stronger economy, should help us in cash management, in terms of credit, in many lines. But considering the environment, we think it's appropriate to be cautious. I think the 5% in the middle of the range for this guidance is sounds to us appropriate for the moment.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question is coming from Mr. Marcelo Telles of Credit Suisse. Please, Mr. Marcelo, you may proceed.
Hi, hello everyone, and congratulations again on the result and the strong guidance for 2019. I have two questions. The first one, regarding your insurance performance, I mean, you seem to be, you know, improving your insurance operation, you know, quarter after quarter, and we saw, you know, a further decline in your claims ratio. So I'm wondering, you know, if you still see room for further improvement in your, you know, in your claims ratio down the road. I mean, can you think, you know, of it more like, you know, like a late cycle situation similar to provisions, where, you know, you'd still be you know, operating with a relatively high number, you know, and what do you think, you know, that 70% that you had in the quarter? I know there's volatility, you know, on a quarterly basis, but you know, what should be a year that we could as a benchmark for your loss ratio, you know, in your insurance operation? And my second question is, you know, we've seen, it's kind of a broader question. We've seen like this very significant changes, right, in the, you know, in the management teams, you know, throughout different public sector companies, you know, including, of course, you know, Caixa Econômica Federal, and there has been a lot of talk, you know, about, you know, new, you know, or Caixa Econômica, you know, becoming, you know, dealing with their inefficiencies, becoming like a better bank, going for, you know, seeking to increase, you know, the product penetration with its client base. And I'm wondering, you know, if you think, you know, this would pose a risk in your view, you know, for private sector banks and for you specifically, and if there is, you know, any overlap, you know, between your client base and the client base of Caixa Econômica Federal, that's something that you think, you know, could, you know, make the competitive environment tougher down the road.
Okay.
Thank you.
Marcelo, let me start with your last question, then I will make some comments on insurance and transfer to Vinicius. So basically, regarding the changes in the public sector banks, I think provided that they operate in a rational way and don't provide subsidized loans, competition is always good. We think that doesn't pose a major risk. They are already large banks. If becoming more efficient and basically operation rationally, it's good. We don't see that's a problem. What was a problem was subsidized loans or subsidized capital that somehow fostered a competition that, in our view, was not necessarily healthy. On the insurance, Vinicius will complement, but I think there were a lot of measures already implemented. They are working in many different fronts, improving the operation in terms of autos, in terms of properties. They have done a lot in terms of health insurance, and there's still more to go. But one thing that we will highlight is, especially in health, we still didn't see growth. I think the economy just reached kind of an inflection point. Unemployment started to stabilize. That helped in terms of claims because we have we don't have the new unemployed people that actually have coverage and have for some time and generate very high levels of claims. So probably we still have room for capturing growth, especially in the health insurance segment. But Vinicius.
Yeah, just to add to what Firetti mentioned, indeed, I mean, we still see room for growth. Actually, employment has just stabilized, and we are beginning to see room for an increase in employment. And I think that should affect positively our health operation. Also, it is a combination. I mean, what we've seen in terms of the decline in loss ratio is a combination of measures that have been taken in the company, you know, for quite some time now, and that are maturing and are working basically on two fronts. One side is a more competitive, more competitiveness in terms of products. I mean, we have been changing our focus and also focusing on the regional aspects and creating new products that are more competitive. And also on the efficiency side, as Firetti already mentioned, we have several fronts in terms of negotiation with providers of moving from a traditional fee-for-service model to more value-based type of initiatives with our providers. So we still see room for further efficiency gains there. So even though, of course, this is a risky and volatile environment, I mean, we still believe that there are structural reasons to believe in this process. In terms of auto, which has been also seeing a return to double-digit returns in terms of return on equity, we have been focusing on more in better portfolios with better returns, and focusing on growing in terms of return on good portfolios. So there's a clear focus on return on equity here, a clear focus on growing those lines of products that can deliver the right return to the company.
Thanks a lot for answers. I have one extra question, if I may. This one is related to margins, you know, to NII. We saw in the quarter, you know, very nice, you know, growth with better mix, and you know, and the NII with, you know, the credit NII didn't really grow in the quarter. Is it possible for you to share with us, you know, what are the segments that you saw, you know, some decline in credit spreads, and think of 2019. You know, what are the loan segments that you see more pressure on spreads?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, basically, we are still feeling a little bit the impact of the changes in the overdraft. Also, we have been producing more loans in some lines with lower rates, kind of especially incentivizing our own clients to take more loans with lower rates. One example also that has produced volumes and of very good quality with lower spreads is, for instance, in the personal loans. We have changed the product. We used to treat it as a product for which we granted limits as a percentage of the income. Now we treat it as a product installments while we can lend for longer. And we sell this product mostly to clients we know, our base of clients, that driving this growth in personal loans. But the average spread we have generated on it is lower from the original portfolio before we started with this product. But anyway, it's a product of a very, very high returns. I think going forward, our expectation is that mix will help and will help to stabilize the average spread, overall spread of the portfolio, the overall margin of the portfolio, and the strong increase in volumes. We believe this will drive NII to the levels we presented in the guidance.
It's very helpful, and thanks again, and congrats on the results.
I would like to remind you that to ask a question, you just have to dial star 1, and to remove, dial star 2. Our next question is coming from Mr. Jason Olin of Scotiabank. Please, Mr. Jason, you may proceed.
Leandro Federici, thank you for the opportunity to ask questions. Some of mine have been addressed, but I wanted to ask first one on your outlook for taxes. We've heard about the proposal to end the interest on capital tax deductibility. We've heard that in the past as well. But perhaps we could also see some reduction in corporate tax rates and some changes in the taxing of dividends. What is Bradesco's base case scenario today, if you can provide some color? And my second question is on possible M&A. I saw some press headlines quoting Bradesco's CEO saying that Bradesco is looking at possible acquisitions amid privatizations. What kinds of investments would be interesting for Bradesco? Are there specific companies, and would Bradesco consider non-financial companies? Thanks.
Okay, Jason. In terms of tax, we believe that considering the nominal tax rate of 40% that is effective right now, our effective tax rate for 19 should be around 30%. There's some debates on taxes, I think, and all of them are, you have a lot of information material in the press. We believe what has been discussed sounds positive, making the system more rational, but we don't see in these proposals increasing tax rate. We see a rationalization. So. But for practical purpose, for estimates, we have to focus on what we know. As I said, the nominal tax rate is right now at 40%. What should lead the effective tax rate to 30%?
Thank you for your question. Regarding to M&A, we have presented a very strong balance sheet. And we see still a lot of opportunities in the country. We do expect that as the economy grows, we shall increase our activities here and provide more and more services to our clients. Nevertheless, if we find out any specific opportunity that can enhance our platform to provide any sort of specific services that we are not in the state of the art, we are not prevented from it. But there is nothing in our radar screen right now.
Yeah, Jason, only to comment, we don't see anything large. As Leandro said, marginal things that complement portfolios we'll be looking, but nothing that really looks sizable at this moment. I think the comments made by Otavio was more on general terms. We are free to look, considering the rules applied after the acquisition of HSBC. So in theory, we don't have those restrictions, but nothing in the horizon.
Thank you very much.
Our next question is coming from Mr. Thiago Batista of Itaú BBA. Please, Mr. Thiago, you may proceed.
Yeah, hi, guys. I have just one question about payout ratio. Last year, the bank's payout ratio was around 40% versus 52% in 17, and all of those payments were through IOC. So my question is, what is the expected payout ratio that the bank is? What is the expected payout ratio for 19? How much the bank can pay, and if it will be everything through IOC?
Okay, Thiago. I think as you know, we have been paying mostly interest on capital over the last few years, and I think the base case scenario, without any other discussion, is we should continue paying interest on capital. I think that's the base case. I think we know we have reached a level of capitalization that is very healthy. We got already a little bit above the level of capital we have been saying we would be very comfortable with, that is 13.5. But I think there's some things on the horizon. First, we still have to go through the pension reforms and the reforms that make the country long-term sustainable. We are getting into a new growth phase that should bring opportunities to expand the loan book. So we are always, our board is always discussing, but what we have on table is we should keep interest on capital for this year.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Our next question is coming from Mr. Carlos Gomez of HSBC. Please, Mr. Carlos, you may proceed.
Hello. Like everybody, congratulations on the results. They were really good. I have a question regarding your new presentation of the information that you announced. You're going to be classified, I imagine, in my numbers, that increases the contribution of insurance to as much as 37-38% of the total. So first, I would like to understand the logic for the reclassification. Is it internally driven, or is it something that regulators or auditors indicated to you that it might be a better way to do it? Second, going forward, how sensitive are these earnings of insurance to interest rate, and are they positively or negatively related to them? Thank you very much.
Okay, Carlos. Basically, on your second question, the sensitivity of earnings to interest rate, basically, short term, as we have been saying, our results are positively impacted by lower rates. Basically, that makes the cost of funding to reprice faster. So lower rates short term produces positive impact. I think that's longer term, for sure, considering that we would be earning lower interest rates on cheap assets, our working capital, then the impact of lower rates comparing to higher rates is negative. But shorter term, it tends to be positive. For sure, it depends on the positions of the treasury, etc. In terms of your first question, if I got it right, is about the reclassifications. Can you
That's
repeat
correct.
The first?
Yes.
The
question is, what is the rationale for the reclassification, and who is the driver? Is it internally because you are looking at the business differently, or is it the auditors or the regulator that would rather see the information presented in a different way?
Yeah, I think the rationale is basically that's kind of closer to the way we look to our numbers internally. Basically, we had some managerial classifications that we have been caring for some time, and we always resist to make the changes, but the current changes make the numbers to be more aligned to what we have been looking at, to the evolution of our internal managerial numbers. It makes also the numbers more easily compared with other peers. So basically, this is the main reason for the reclassification. On the insurance side, that is kind of in terms of size, is the most important. Basically, we had a problem in the former classification that the operational part of the insurance results was in one line, and the margin from insurance in the margin. So that made especially the insurance line, the operating results, volatile. Sometimes the trends were hard to explain. Looking to align isolatedly. So trust me, this new classification makes the understanding of numbers better.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Since there are no further questions, I would like to invite the speaker for the closing remarks.
Thank you all for participating in our conference call, and we are very glad that we have such numbers, and we remain very positive for 2019. Have a nice day.
That does conclude the Banco Bradesco's conference call for today. Thank you very much for your participation, and have a good day.